We're good. We're rolling. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Safari Pedals Show. I'm your host, Abby. If this is your first time here, welcome to the crazy Safari Podcast YouTube wild show thing bandwagon. It's great to have you. Today, as you can tell by the title, I am having a beat breakdown extravaganza.
Oh my God! Wow!
What does that even entail, you may be asking. So, I will tell you. Today we got a really special guest lined up, King Music, who we will welcome in just a moment to the Crazy Safari Pedal Show world, has graciously prepared two beats of his that we're gonna break down and talk about his process and how he produces. It's bound to be a great episode. So, everyone, please give a very warm welcome to King Music.
Hey.
Yay. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me.
It's really great to have you on. Before we dive in and talk about a little bit what is happening today, give us your background of who you are and what you do, and we'll take it from there.
My name is King. I go by King Music. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been doing music probably I probably got my first piece of gear around 11. I started going to the studio around 9 because I got a sister that's 10 years older than me, and she singed. So my mom would pay for her to have studio time or what have you. And I was just always that annoying little brother that would always tag along or what have you. And I vividly remember seeing SSL consoles, MPC 60s, because back when I was growing up, it was one of those things where you went to school, but you had to play sports or you had to do something. You just couldn't sit in the house idle or what have you. And as you see, I'm a chunky guy. So running and all that was not my thing after the age of 10 or what have you. So I was I'll do music. I'll say fast forward, graduated, went to college, didn't really like that. And I was I really want to do music full time. So I just started moving around the city of Atlanta, because Atlanta's a music town. Or what have you. So working in and out of studios, building relationships, worked with a lot of independent people in the city, or what have you. Had some shots at some big things they didn't place yet, but just kept working. Then I got a couple big things as far as vocal editing and tuning and comping, things of that nature. But I just started saying, you know what, I'm gonna start YouTubing. And the YouTube and just start taking off and doing a thing of its own. So from that, you start doing one-on-ones, consulting, teaching, different sponsorships with different companies or what have you, selling more music and just building and stacking.
Yeah. Diving into today, King Music has graciously produced. Graciously. What a big word. King Music was really kind enough to produce and send me two of his really awesome beats that we're going to be breaking down. Hence, Abby's beat breakdown extravaganza. You get the vibe. Okay, guys, so we're going to play the first beat. The name of the beat is Al Jarreau. That's what it was sent as.
Yeah, Al Jarreau.
Yeah, okay, awesome. We're going to play the first beat, which is Al Jarreau, and then we're going to discuss. So let's dive into the session that is open here, and let's give it a play. Yeah. Hell yeah. When you sent me this beat, I was like, oh my God, I have so many questions. So good. So good.
I appreciate it.
Could you walk me through like how that beat, like where you started from?
Basically, how that beat really started is, if you look behind me, you see like I got walls of vinyl records or what have you. And what's like special about my record collection is some of my records are my mom's old records. Some of my mom's like
my mom's old neighbors, like that's from the neighborhood, from the record stores or what have you. So it's a nice section of records. And it's just a day where I was just like, let me just grab something off the wall and just try it. And I actually like dropped the needle. Like I didn't download, you know, nothing from YouTube, anything like that. Like actually dropped the needle on that record. I actually did that record inside of Reason. Like I didn't use my, cause I'm a big MPC user, but I didn't use my MPC or anything, but I just dropped the needle. Like if you listen to like the original song or what have you, it's so like smooth. And when I was playing it, I was like, oh, this could be dope. This could be real dope. Cause like you hear his emotion when he's singing and the way the chords are moving, like that's what really catches my ear when I'm sampling. Like, what are these chords doing? You know, how is this moving? How can this make sense or what have you? And that's actually that part that I sampled. That's actually the second time around. When he sings it the second time around, the sound gets fuller or what have you. So basically, I got that. I put that in Serato sampler, chopped it up, laid that, and then like I just started like programming like some drums to give me like a rhythm. I didn't want like the popular, you know, the snares or the claps or anything like that. Like I wanted to keep it like real hip hop and like, let me get a rim and let me just get like a nice solid kick, not nothing crazy, not nothing that thump, but just something to ride. And then from there, I've been learning over the past few months the bass. So I was like, oh, this is a cool time to maybe like incorporate some bass. So I started playing like, you know, just a simple bass line, a bass pattern with it or what have you. And then like, I'm from Atlanta, so I'm a big DJ Toomp fan. One thing I learned from like studying Toomp, like the horns and the strings, like those are two main instruments. Like when you want to do something cinematic or what have you, like those are like some go-tos to grab. So laid the strings, laid the horns. And then you always got to have like those low piano stabs that, like that's going to always bring that emotion and that intensity, you know what I'm saying, to a track. And then the ear candy on top was the guitar. That's actually a real guitar player.
Yeah, I want to open the session so everyone could see. When I heard the beat for the first time, I was like, I have to ask him about the guitar. Crazy guitar. Mm-hmm. And then there's this layer that's also I want. Epic. What was like the process with the guitar player? Like, how did that whole section come to be?
So basically, like when I work with the guitar player, by the way, me and him have been working probably now probably about 4 or 5 months. And like from the moment like that we started working, we just caught like an instant vibe because he's an older cat and like, you know, I appreciate like all that old music and all that feeling. So we was off to the running like the day we met each other type vibe. When me and him get together, like so basically the track was done, but then like I'll hum to him like what I'm hearing. Like even on that, like I was like, I want that dum 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 dum. And so just like I just hum the little stuff to him, let him put his little flair, his vibe. And then by him playing, once I give him like what I'm hearing in my head, then I give him another track and I'll be like, just solo. Just do your thing. Play what you feel. And then once we're done, I'll just comp what I like from here, what I like from there. So basically, even when I'm comping, I'm rearranging stuff to come up with like a line. And basically, I get that. I guess I take that from being an MPC user and a sampler. Like, basically, you know, like if you're sampling and you hear guitar, you hear the licks, and you put them in the sample, you just finna rearrange them to come up with something. With that one, I kind of comp some stuff, move some stuff around or what have you. And then I know for a fact, I use the Gorilla Drive.
Hell yeah.
I use the Gorilla, man, the Gorilla Drive is a beast. I be using it like on my drums and my basses and my guitars. I know I use it on the bass to open up the bass, make the bass a little fatter. And I put it on the guitars, some stock. I did use some stock reverbs. Just panned them out and spaced it.
That's epic. I also wanted to, I'm going to just play it in solo because I want everyone to hear the drums. I play, like, they knocked so hard. Like, I wanted to ask you about them. So I'll just solo it for you guys just so we can hear it by itself for a second. Epic drums. Epic drums.
Like, and a simple pattern. That's what I'm saying. A simple pattern. Like, I ain't want nothing crazy. Just something that, you know, I'm big on groove. I'm big on groove and I'm big on feeling because, like, one thing I always keep in mind is, like, when I was fresh to music or when I be discovering new music, you know how you feel a certain way when you hear a song that you never heard before or an artist? It's like, oh, my God, it was a groove or it put me in a feeling. So just wanted the drums to be simple, you know, simple. And then, like I said, I smacked Gorilla Drive on them, too.
Okay, guys, so we are moving on to beat two, also produced by King Music. So thank you so much again for sending this beat over. Much appreciated. Correct me if I'm wrong again. The name I got, 987.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're good on the name. We'll give it a play and then we'll discuss and break it down.
That's hard.
Once again, knocked it out of the park, dude. Like, what's the tea on this beat?
So that beat, my good friend of mine, he was in town from DC. And once again, these records, he was like, hey bro, if I pull any record from the stash, you'll make a beat. I was like, yeah, bro, I'll make a beat. I was like, better yet, turn the camera on. We gonna videotape all this. So I actually made a YouTube video out of it because he didn't believe the beat was gonna come or something. And while I was trying to make it, you know, you gotta find the sample. I was using the 3000 that day. The album I picked out was horrible. I couldn't find anything. It was like the last record. And that particular section I grabbed, it was like some wacky intro. Cause it was like do boom 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 boom, and I was like, okay. But then right at the end, when I was finna take the needle up, and I was like, bump it. It went to dun 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 dun. I was like, oh, okay. And that's one thing too, like sampling records. Sometimes you have to like literally sit there and let the whole record play, because it might be 4 seconds that change your whole day. Like, or like a chord change, or like the way the song is exiting, you know, it's always a second somewhere on there. So found the sample, played with the pitch, built some drums, or what have you. And the interesting thing about that one is, like, I did that with the 3000. So the 3000, that drum machine came out in 1990. It's a blank drum machine. And, you know, like, when you're chopping samples with, like, newer drum machines or, like, whatever DAW you're using, you know, you can see waves, the transients. Well, with a 3000, you can't see waves. You're cutting samples by numbers. So basically, you have to train your ears to cut the sample. Like, you have to literally close your eyes and be like, okay, this is a smooth start point. This is a smooth end point. With those 3000s, like, sonically, no MPC sounds like that. It's a lower bit drum machine, hits very, 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 very hard. Like, anybody that's an MPC user, like, that 3000, that's like the holy grail. And then it was just building the music around it. I would say, like, the main line was the synth, the counter melody was the bells, the strings were the harmonies, the bass and the piano. That was just added aggression noise to, you know, make it sound like Goliath is coming to town or what have you. And because sonically, when I produce, the sound that I'm always trying to go for, either I want to make it sound like a movie or I want to make it sound like the world is about to end. Like, I be trying to figure out how I can make everything sound big as possible.
I also just want to dive right back into the session. And once again, there's also not many tracks, but that there's, like, real musicality and, like, really tasteful choices. Like I spent time, because I have all the stems, like, I went into everything and had a listen, and just the way that everything meshes together in the end, it's really, really, I don't know, I'm just always, like, blown away.
Oh, man. Nah, it's just, like I say, it's just knowing, like, literally, it's a, when you grow up listening to music, like, you automatically know, like, it's a formula. Like, if I'm not playing the piano, or if I'm sampling or what have you, like I told you, when I sample, I'm trying to find, like, a feeling and a tone. Once I find that, then, okay, let's lay it, my main chord structure. Then from laying the main chord structure, let's lay harmony, which could be like a string or a pad, because, you know, that harmony is what helped blend. And also, when you play a harmony, it kind of helps, like, your vocalists come up with, like, where they can do, like, their background stacks for their harmonies and stuff, like little notes that they can, you know, find and build off of. And then from the harmony, you're going to have your rhythm section, which is your bass, and your drums, you know, your kick, your snares, your hi-hats, your shakers, your transition sound, whether that's like a cymbal or a crash or like a swoosh. And then from there, okay, now we got to put, like, our main melody sound, whether that be a lead or whatever. And then, okay, you got that. Now, what's the response? What's the counter melody? When that lead is doing, what's calling back to it? You know, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
What are they saying? You know what I'm saying? Back to each other. And then, you know, once you have that, then you can add, like, little ear candy, like a sound that's just for the verse, or like a sound that's in the back half of the chorus, whether it be like a high string pull or some type of synth that they're like, you know, just those things. But it's a formula. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta, but all that comes with musicianship, you know, and knowing music and theory.
Do you feel like that's overlooked nowadays in producers starting out?
Of course. We have, I don't knock technology. Technology cool, but it's too much because, I mean, it makes you lazy. And then too, like, when it ain't no musicianship, that thing we talking about, like, feel leaves, you know. Even like with me, some days I might be like, all right, let's turn all these clocks and stuff off at the MPC and let's just make these tracks, but let's just play the audio. So when I'm playing the audio, I'm not going to be in perfect time. But what does that do? That adds a feel. It adds a human characteristic, because these records that we grew up to, whether it's the Motown records, the Isley records, you know, these were These were records where musicians came in and played, and these were tapes. And it's okay if he fell off a little bit, because what did that add? That adds a groove. That adds a character. That adds a realness. That musicianship is key, man. I tell folks all the time, these, your ears and your heart control your hands. These are just, this is just a tool. But this and this, that's your brain. This your money maker right here.
Yeah.
You know, and this right here is going to give you that feel and that drive and that hunger. But when you put them, this and this together, bad motherfucker.
Yeah. That's where the sauce comes from, guys. That's where the secret sauce, that's where your secret sauce comes from.
That's the drip.
To kind of sum up the beat breakdown and everything we spoke about today, I always love to ask our guests to just drop a piece of advice to the amazing Studio Animal viewers. Whether it doesn't have to be on topic, it could be about anything you like, but like, what's the thing that you wanna say to the people?
No matter where you are in life, no matter how old you are, whatever your background is, whatever your financial is, whatever, like even if you don't have all the crazy equipment, just keep going. Just keep working. Keep trying. People tell me no all day, every day. But one thing everybody knows is I'm going to always keep going. I'm going to always show up, even on my worst days. Even on days I don't want to do nothing, just go for it. And as long as you believe in you, it's great.
King Musical President, guys. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your beats and breaking down your process.
I appreciate you thinking enough of me. I'm more excited than you are. You don't understand. Because it's just crazy, man. Like, you never know where the internet, literally where the internet going to lead you to. Like, look, that's what I'm saying. Like, you just got to go for it. Got to go for it. You never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah, you might just end up on the Safari Pedals show.
Hey.
It is a wild jungle out there, guys. That it is for sure.